Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
What we're talking about today, you've maybe heard a message similar to it, or maybe you know the passages of Scripture that we're going to be looking at, but I want to talk to you over the next several minutes about the subject of learning to heal this morning, because we've all been there. We've all known people. We ourselves have experienced the need for that. We perhaps have seen it, and so we want to talk about it this morning, that our God is a God who heals. And so we want to learn about that today. Dan Van Veen shares in the October 26th issue, 2008, from the Pentecostal Evangel, which, if you're like, what's that? I've never seen that on the newsstand at the local grocery store. That is the magazine that the Assembly of God puts out. It used to be in paper form. It's now just gone solely online. But in the 2008 issue, he shares of an article entitled Vanish. And he writes, Amy Knight, a single mother of Kylie, Ryan, and Alex, attends White House First Assembly in Texas. She had heard stories of divine healing, but she had never personally experienced or seen one. When 11-year-old daughter Kayla began complaining about ongoing headaches that continued to grow in severity, Amy desperately needed those healing stories to become personal realities. The headaches grew in intensity. In May, Amy took Kayla to the emergency room. They took an x-ray and noted an abnormality. Amy says they recommended that I would see a neurologist. The neurologist's fees are high due to their income level. Kayla qualified for Medicaid, but it took several weeks for Amy to find a doctor who would accept Medicaid payment. 2 months later, Kayla finally saw a doctor in nearby Tyler, who ordered a CAT scan and then an MRI. By this time, Kayla spent most of her days in bed because of the unbearable pain. The doctor and Tyler noticed a large white blotch on the MRI, a tumor in Kayla's brain. He immediately sent the pair to see a specialist in Dallas. Another MRI confirmed the tumor had grown significantly. The doctor took me aside and told me that if it continued to grow at its current rate, within 2 weeks, the tumor would cover her brain and Kayla would be brain dead, Amy recalls. The other option was surgery, but there was a 95% chance Kayla would not survive. It was a difficult decision, but I chose to let Kayla have at least have what was left of her life rather than take such a long decision. Amy says, I told the doctor I was going to leave it in God's hands. Amy told Kayla everything. We're going to let the church pray for you tonight. She said they would believe together that God would remove the tumor. During the service that night, senior pastor Michael Fleming says Kayla sat on the front pew. See, there's good things what happens when you sit on the front row. Just want to throw that out there. All right. Kayla sat on the front pew, and we gathered around her. We started to pray. We could feel the presence of God. We prayed that the tumor would be removed and that reports would be changed. 2 days later, Kayla was back in Dallas for another MRI. The doctors soon called for Amy. I was thinking it was bad news, she remembers. The doctor put an MRI in front of me, and I really didn't know what I was looking at. To me, I didn't see a thing, so I thought the tumor had spread across her brain. In fact, the doctor was stunned and was struggling for an answer. The tumor had vanished without a trace. Kayla's headaches gone as well. The doctor told me during our visits that he believed that there was some higher being, but he didn't believe in God. Amy says, but after he saw these results, he said that if he didn't believe in my God before, he would now. I told him he's not my God, he's everybody's God. Since the initial report, Kayla has undergone two further exams, both giving her a clean bill of health. This morning I share that story because it comes to our third attribute in this series that we've been on, this follow series, Learning to Heal. Listen, I am convinced that God is a healer. God is able to heal. Our experience doesn't decide that, but Scripture declares that. It's part of His character. It's one of the cardinal doctrines of the Assemblies of God, that God is able to divinely heal people. It's one of the things that we've been praying for about since August, that God would supernaturally show up and show off and do things that would proclaim His power and His ability, whether that be physical healing, whether it be deliverance, whatever it may be. And yet, in the last several weeks, we've had reports of that occurring, that God is a healer. Man, I believe He can heal. I believe He does heal. And I'm glad to be a part of a fellowship that holds to that. Unashamedly, I hold to the fact that God heals, that God is able to do signs and wonders even in this day and in this moment and in this season. But I understand the flip side of the coin too, because there's a mystery to healing, isn't there? Because we've all prayed for people, we've all had loved ones that were in need of healing, and we prayed and we prayed and we perhaps even fasted and called out and got the prayer chains going around the world, and for whatever reason that we may never know, God chose not to heal. So there's this mystery element to it. Why doesn't God heal everyone? I wish I knew. However, our responsibility isn't to figure that out. Our responsibility is to do and believe what the Lord has called us to do and to follow Him and do as He did. So our life verse this week, look at it, Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 says this: ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. When you look at that word receive, it's this idea of unpacking that word. It means to take hold of it. It means to claim. So we see this, Jesus saying, listen, ask. In other words, God invites you. God invites me. God invites us to ask Him. He desires to meet our requests. And then He says, seek. And in my mind goes back to Luke chapter 18 and the story of the persistent widow and this idea of you and I coming, and then we come again, and then we come again, and then we come again, and we don't grow weary in coming because we don't know if and when God may answer that prayer. So we're persistent and we seek Him. And then He says, knock. And it's this confidence that the door will be open. It's this confidence that, man, I'm going to knock, and I'm going to knock, and I'm going to knock, because I know my Heavenly Father is a good God, and He's going to open the door. He wants to hear my requests. Going back to this idea of, for everyone who asks, receives, takes hold of it, able to claim it. I was thinking about just a way, how could I illustrate this? And so a few weeks ago, we made a purchase for the church. We bought upgraded our computer in the back of the sanctuary that runs the Pro Presenter, the slides, and because the intention is here in the coming month or months, lest Jesus come back, and if He comes back, then we don't have to ever worry about it. But we all win that way. But anyway, to be able to get some video stuff, to be able to push the services online for people, so that when you're away or if you're out in the fields hunting, you can watch service, and I'm going to talk really loud on that, and the deer are going to run away from you. But anyway, but it's idea of you know, hey, it's taking hold of, it's receiving something. And so I'm on the phone with this guy, and I'm talking to him about computers, and I know enough about computers to turn them on, do what I need to do, and then make a mess of them. And so I'm talking to this guy, hey, this is what I need, and he's asking me some questions. He says, well, I would, if you're going to do this, if you want to push services online, then I would recommend you bump up to this grade. And I heard bump up, and guess what I thought? Well, you're going to bump my price up. And I'm in a budget, and I said, man, I really don't want to go past. I was hoping I would, you know, be able to spend this amount of money and not more, and you're taking me above that, man. You're not my friend anymore. And so we were talking, and I said, can you do me better than that? Can you help me out? Can you help a poor guy out from Valley Center, Kansas? And he said, let me put you on hold, you know, and he put me on hold, and I'm sure he was probably just filing his fingers or whatever, but he got back on, he said, tell you what, man, I can do you for this price, and I was like, soul, take hold of it, send it. And it's this idea of asking and receiving, taking hold of that which God has promised us. Warren Wiersbe, who writes several biblical commentaries, said this about that passage of scripture on Romans or Matthew 7. The believer who seeks to obey God, the word of God, must constantly ask God, or constantly ask for strength, seek wisdom, and knock at God's door for the supply of grace needed. Note that Christ's prayer, as you look at that prayer, if you look in verses 9 through 11, Christ bases prayer on the fatherhood of God. Look at it in your Bible. Take a moment and just look at that. As God's children, we may expect God to care for us and meet our needs because he's a good father. So we come to him on that basis. Let's just take a few moments this morning and look at some scriptures. I hope you have your Bible, you have your phone, whatever device you use. We're going to look at a bunch of scriptures. We're going to fly through them quick this morning with my prayer. My hope is that your faith will be built and you will see what God's heart is, what God's plan is, what God's will is, because God's word is God's will. That's our first point. So let's look at some scripture this morning. Say, God's word is God's will. Check it out. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. And he said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his desires, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians. And this is what I want you to see. Underline it in your Bible. For I am the Lord who heals you. Exodus chapter 23, verse 25, worship the Lord your God, and his blessing will be on your food and water, unless you eat at McDonald's. I'm sorry, if you work at McDonald's, please forgive me. I just don't like McDonald's, as you can tell. I will take away sickness from among you. Underline that. I will take sickness from among you. Isaiah 53, verse 4 and 5, surely he took upon our infirmities and carried our sorrows, and yet we considered him stricken by God. This is speaking of Jesus, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. Underline it. And by his wounds, we are healed. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, to release and release from darkness for the prisoners. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 says, Jesus went throughout the Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Matthew 9:35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Mark 1, verse 34, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, in the Spirit of the Lord, Jesus, now quoting what Isaiah 61 wrote about him. Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Luke chapter 6, verse 19, and the people all tried to touch him because power was going from him and healing them all. Luke 9, 6, so they set out and went from village to village preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Luke chapter 9, verse 11, but the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them, and he spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who needed healing. In John chapter 5, 1 through 9, Jesus heals a man who had been blind and lame for 38 years, heals him. James chapter 5, verse 14, a scripture that you often see during our worship or during our singing portion of our service when we call for the elders. Is anyone of you sick? He should call for the elders of the church and pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective. So here's the big idea this morning. Following Jesus makes anything possible. Anything. The first two big ideas of this series were this: following Jesus changes everything. Last week we talked about when we listen and obey God, we build a strong foundation for the storms of life. Matthew 19, verse 26, we really sang about it this morning already. But Jesus said this: with God, all things are possible. With God, all things. Look at your neighbor and just say all. All things are possible. Because of the cross and the resurrection of Christ, the rules have changed. Isaiah 53, 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Let me just talk to you real quick just about that passage of Scripture, because of what Jesus did on the cross and his resurrection, Jesus did three things. First off is Jesus removed the curse of sin from our life. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, Paul wrote this: Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. The curse of the law, because of our sin, because of our brokenness, because of our disconnect, because of that sin, we couldn't connect with God. We were disconnected from God. But because of Christ and his willingness to come and take our place in the elements of communion, to be that bread, to be that blood for us, now we are reconciled. He's removed the curse of sin from those that are his. Secondly, is Jesus destroyed the works of the devil. First John chapter 3, verse 8 said, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work, to take him out, to disarm him. We know that he has done that, but we also know that to this day, until Jesus establishes his kingdom, and he returns and he establishes his earthly kingdom, that the devil's still at work, right? I mean, if you don't see that, you need to just enjoy a pleasurable evening of watching NBC Nightly News. And you'll see the devil at work, right? But thirdly, and this is where we want to camp today, is Jesus paid for more than just forgiveness of sins. He paid for more than just your salvation. Those things are huge. But his work on the cross and the resurrection went beyond that. He paid for physical and emotional healing as well. For you, for me. Psalms 103, verse 3 says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives our sins and heals all of your diseases. Period. Not some of them, not when he feels like it, not if you're born within this period of time. Understand, Christ's atonement provided for emotional and mental healing as well. Healing of every kind was provided for by Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. We're going to talk about more of that or on that here in a few minutes, but learning the Word of God enables us to clearly follow the will of God. True? It also brings clarity in what we should do and how we should respond to stuff. So learning to follow Jesus brings this understanding, which takes us to our second thought this morning, is God's followers do God's work. Jesus needs you. Listen, Jesus needs you in the game. If you're a follower of Jesus, he needs you in the game. He believes you can hit the shot. He believes you can catch the pass. Whatever analogy you want to use, he believes you can accomplish what needs to be accomplished. He believes that you are able. Why? As we talked a couple weeks ago in this series, you are covered in the dust of the rabbi, that you're walking so close and you're in tune and you're learning from him and you're watching him and you're watching his ways and you're just like, and you're rubbing next to him, doing what he does, doing what he did, doing as he did it. And as you study through the Gospels and you see the activity of the early church, and you hear testimonies like that of Kayla Knight, you see the possibilities of God moving through ordinary people like you and me. People who are willing to ask God for big things and supernatural things. See, here's the deal. He gives healing authority to every believer, but also spiritual authority over every principality and power to every believer. Scripture says it this way in John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, is that greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world, right? So Jesus said this in John 14, verse 12, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. A few weeks ago, Caleb had an opportunity on a Thursday night. This was before the season started, before the Hornets got to 5-0. How about those Hornets, huh? So this was before the season started. He had the opportunity to go out with Chuck, Case, and a gentleman who goes by the street name Critter, and do some evangelism and just go out and pray for people down on the south side of Wichita. And they went out, and he was sharing with us when he got home. He was pretty stoked about it. And I was just asking for a recap of it during worship, because I was like, man, that would go good. I need to just share that this morning. And so ask him, like, was your dad on the up and up with that story, or can you feed me some more when we're done here today? But anyway, there's a gentleman that they came into contact with who was just oppressed. He said, man, pray for me. I just feel bound up. I feel like I'm in chains. And so these guys gathered around with him, prayed with him on the streets of Wichita that God would heal him, God would break the chains. And Caleb reported later on that night, man, you know, we prayed for him and he left, and he was like, his countenance was different. He was changed. And later on, we could like hear him, like, I can't remember if it was back behind the grocery store or the convenience store or wherever they were at. We could like hear them just like shouting and praising and thanking God. Is that, Caleb, is that like the gist of the story? Pretty much, he's like, yeah, Dad, have him come and talk to me. But it was just like this guy, we serve a God who heals and a God who is able to do things that sometimes me, you and I, we just need to be willing to take the step. And pray, Luke chapter 9, verse 1, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Luke chapter 10, verse 19, I gave you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. Jesus is saying, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. It's pretty awesome when God moves and does supernatural things, and you're privileged to be a part of it, and you're privileged to be in that moment. I want to encourage you, that only happens when you and I are willing to be conduit and partner with God and be a part of the solution. I want to encourage you to pray bold prayers and courageous prayers, risky prayers. Let me, as I challenge us to do that, let me take the pressure off of you. Because the pressure comes in this matter. Well, there's the pressure to perform. That I have to pray the like this is some incantation or something. Like I have to pray the right words. If I don't pray the right words and I don't use the right tone of God, you know, in my prayer, then God's not going to come through. If I you know, don't do something a little odd, then God's not going to come through. Look, it's not about you. It's not about your performance. Nor is it about you having to protect God if the prayer doesn't get answered. Right? Because you've been in the aisle of the store, you've been in the circumstances, man, I'd like to pray for this person, but what if God doesn't answer that prayer? I don't want to make God look bad, and I know I don't want to look bad. So we quietly bow out. Look, it's not up. You don't have to perform. There's no pressure to perform. Nor is there pressure to have to protect God if God doesn't show up and show off. All you are, all we are, is just conduit. Your job isn't to provide the miracle. Our job is to pray and believe God's responsible for the miracle. Amen? Because Jesus puts it all in perspective in verse 19 of Luke chapter 10. He says this, however, after the disciples came back and they're like, man, this is incredible. All this stuff happened. Woo, you know. He says this, however, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. In other words, always remember, this is about something bigger. Look, if you've not looked in the mirror lately, earthly bodies change, right? The chest shifts to the drawers. Earthly bodies are going to fade even when there are miracles and broken bodies are healed. But heaven, oh, it's going to be good. And that's the target. So here's the key ingredient for this. Faith is important, right, in this. We're going to look at some scriptures about that real quick. But understand, it's faith in God. It's not faith in faith. This week in your devotion book, follow book, if you've not yet picked that up, you can still get it out at the Welcome Center. But we're going to be in pages 80 through 103. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says this, and without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Mark chapter 10, verse 51, excuse me. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. The blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Acts chapter 3, verse 16. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know has been made strong. It is Jesus. It is in Jesus' name, in the faith that comes through him, through Jesus. Mark chapter 11. Have faith in God, Jesus said. And then he goes on, talks to them about that. The kingdom of God, listen, here's the deal, all right? The kingdom of God is an upside-down kingdom compared to this world. I mean, God flips the switch because you and I, in our culture, you know, all of it, we're into this. Seeing is believing, right? How many of you are from Missouri? Any Missourians in here? All right, what's the motto of Missouri? Show me. Seeing is believing, right? But Christianity, God's motto is believing is seeing. The prayer offered in faith. Let me just talk about this James 5, 5:14. Is anyone sick? He should call for the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. Prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. The word sick is used in two different ways within the New Testament, all right? We're getting ready to land the plane here. The first one is towards weakness. You see it played out. It's used less frequently that way, but you see it played out that way in 1 Corinthians 14:1-2, Romans 14:1-2, and 1 Corinthians 8:11-12. We're not going to take time to look there, but it is the person who is weak internally. It is not just the person who is physically sick, but it is the person who is emotionally weak as well. The individual that is having emotional struggles. The one who is worn out. It's the Matthew 11:28. All you who are weary and heavy burdened and you're just tired, come to me, person. And then the other way it's used in Scripture in the New Testament is for physical illness, which is more common. Matthew 10:8, Mark 6:56, John 4:46, John 6:2, John 11, Acts 9:37, Acts 19. Why is it important? Why do I take time to highlight the use of those two words within James 5? Because there are some that would say it's not talking about physical sickness in James chapter 5. It's only talking about those who are weak because of sin. It's talking about those that are disconnected from God because of sin. Listen. God heals the sick who are physically sick as God heals those who are spiritually separated from God, bringing them back together so they're whole. God heals both individuals. What is this verse saying to us then? If you have a physical infirmity, this is a pattern for you in dealing with that sickness, that you would call for the elders, that you would ask people to gather around you and pray for you, that you would look to the Lord for your healing. And if you've gone for prayer before and it didn't happen, you would go again. And it doesn't happen, you would go again. What do you want to be known for? I want to be known for a man who trusts in the Lord, who looks to the Lord. Even though when I don't get it, I'm still going to him. Even though when I don't understand, I'm still going to him because my confidence is not in anything else but him who has saved me and him who is able to redeem me. That's why we have times of prayer during our service. That's why as we conclude here in a moment, we're going to have a time of prayer. Trusting the Lord, asking the Lord to show up and show off and touch you, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, whatever it may be. You ask, Steve, have you seen it? Personally, have you seen it? Have you seen God heal somebody personally? Or are you just up here? And I can say absolutely. I was going to say, My tongue got tangled. But I can say absolutely, I have seen it. I've seen it in my own home. We've shared our testimony before. I don't have to talk you into it this morning. God is a healing God. So, if you're in a life group, I'm going to ask you tonight or whenever your life group gets together to take some time and pray, but I think we would be amiss this morning if we didn't take time at the end of our service to offer prayer for anyone who would need prayer, to offer prayer for those who need a physical touch, offer prayer for those who just emotionally and mentally you're in turmoil for whatever reason, that you're just like, God, I just need you to touch me. And most importantly, to offer prayer for anyone here today that spiritually you're sick because of sin. And you need healing spiritually. You need to be brought into right relationship with God, which is the most important thing for you. Because you're not built just for today. There is a finish line for every one of us with our natural breath, but we're all built for eternity. And Jesus is the only one who is able to take that which is broken, that which is wrecked, that which is marred, and make it whole because of his death and his resurrection on the cross. And so if you're here today and you need spiritual healing, you need to be brought into right relationship with God, during this time of prayer, I would challenge you, as there's some folks up here praying, to get up out of your seat, as others will get up out of their seat as well, to come forward for prayer and come forward for prayer and just tell that person who's praying for you, I need spiritual healing. And let's watch God heal you and mend you.
Everybody dance. Everybody, this concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.